Hello and welcome to the Wine Appraiser Podcast, where we sip and tell and share affordable wine finds. I'm Dennis, the Wine Appraiser, and I'm here with my wife and wine tasting partner, Denise.
Hello, everyone.
Again, just like last week, I am super excited for the show tonight. We have a Baco Noir from the Finger Lakes AVA in New York.
A New York Pinot.
Yeah. No. It's a Baco Noir.
Oh, that's not a Pinot.
No, it's a hybrid.
Oh.
It's a hybrid grape.
My mistake there.
Yeah. We are tasting it just to make it just for our own enjoyment.
In New York, we're not very familiar with New York wines.
But I did throw in a Pinot Noir to taste against it.
Oh, that's just where I got the Pinot Noir.
Yeah. And so it's something that it sounded like it's halfway close, similar. And so I thought it might be fun to taste against that. And who knows? I'm not sure which. Again, we aren't sure which one's which. So
No. We'll
have to test it out.
We are unaware.
See. Yeah. That will be fun for us anyway. So Baco Noir, it's a French hybrid grape. And I don't want to get too much into it. But the guy who started this variety, or this hybrid, was Francois Baco.
Oh, he sounds like a gentleman, not a guy.
Well, could be. He's a Frenchman.
A Frenchman.
So, anyway.
And how did he end up in New York? Or his grapes?
He didn't. He was a Frenchman.
Okay. Just his grapes made it to New York.
It's a French hybrid, but yeah, it's come to New York, and it's pretty popular there. But we'll get into that a little bit later. But based on most of the stuff that I've read, Baco Noir is most similar to like a Pinot Noir or a Beaujolais. So if you're fans of those, which we like Pinots.
We do like Pinots.
We've had Beaujolais, both that I've liked and some that I didn't like.
Okay.
So I don't know about that. But it's funny because reading stuff on this hybrid, there's some things that say, oh, it's like a Cabernet. And I mean, it kind of went through the gamut of, oh, it's like this wine variety.
Okay, so what should we be tasting when we...
Well, we'll get into that.
Okay.
We'll get into that in just a little bit. First of all, I wanted to say thanks for listening. And if this show's really about and for people that want to learn about wine, like us, just have more fun with wine.
Well, and try new and different wines.
Yeah.
That maybe they haven't.
We're looking for new wines just so to enjoy more.
Affordable wines. We are not on that upper level.
Right.
Top shelf. No.
We focus on affordable wines. You bet. So anyway, we hope you'll join us each week for this wine journey. Thanks for listening. And we would really appreciate it if you'd subscribe to the show and give us a rating. So good or bad, we don't care. Just give us a rating.
Oh, we'd love it.
Well, we do. We'd like a good one. But if you want to say, ooh, that was horrible.
I know.
That's
fine. It happens.
So anyway, so if you know somebody likes wine and wants to learn more about wine, tell them too. Really appreciate it. So Baco Noir, like I said, it's a French hybrid bred by Francois Baco and predominantly raised. So this grape has come across and now it's predominantly raised in New York.
Okay.
That's a big area. And they also said kind of along the East Coast, I think maybe Virginia has some, and maybe New Jersey and North Carolina, kind of along the East Coast. And then also they said in the Midwest.
Really?
Yeah. I really haven't seen it around here.
No.
But they actually did mention Iowa in there. So
okay. We'll have to be on the lookout.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was kind of interesting. So you ask about flavors. It's right. really kind of a darker fruit flavored wine. So it has darker fruits. It's a fruit forward. And it is supposed to have good acidity. So kind of like Pinot, it has good acidity.
So does that mean it will age well too?
And that's kind of like Beaujolais also. It should. In fact, the winery where we got this from said, don't be afraid to age this 10 to 15 years.
Ooh, and what vintage do we have?
This said 2020.
Okay. So
we're kind of drinking a little bit early, yeah. maybe. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. We'll see. And I really want to go to this winery. We'll talk about
in
that.
In New York?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, and I did want to say, we talked in the previous episode we did about New York, where it was a show about nothing. You don't remember that? We did the show about nothing.
And we had some
about
New York.
Yeah. But we did a Riesling. We did some Riesling.
Oh, I think
and we
I
had
do
the,
remember that.
The Dr. Frank Riesling.
It was the kind of sweet, if I remember.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. I think it was a dry Riesling. But we talked about Dr. Constantine Frank, and he was kind of like he started all the wine growing in New York. He came from the Ukraine. And people didn't, at that point in time, they didn't think you could grow vinifera grapes in New York. And he's like, oh, this is great. You know, I grew vinifera
I would have thought the same thing.
Grapes in Ukraine, and this is better than Ukraine. I don't know. So anyway, but I did find out, so a couple things. The Wine Enthusiast magazine this month had a nice article about him and about New York wines. And they also were talking about his family. They actually came from Alsace, France.
Oh.
So that's where they were from. They ended up migrating to the Ukraine at the request of Catherine the Great from Russia.
Really?
So Ukraine had been invaded by the Turks, and it sounded like it was just decimated.
Okay.
So she was trying to rebuild the area, and so she asked them to come and try to rebuild the wine industry there. So that's how they originally got there, and then he came to New York in the U.S., in the early 1950s, and then started growing wine there. So the winery that produced our wine is Huron Hill Winery. This winery, basically, they planted 20 acres of grapes in 1972, and their grapes that they planted were Chardonnay, Riesling, and Sauvignon Blanc. After 4 years of growing those grapes, they finally produced some grapes for wine, and they started their winery.
Okay.
They said they were having a hard time selling the grapes, so they just started producing wine. So that was in the 70s. The winery's now 48 years old, and it was rebuilt, so they built a brand new retail facility in the year 2000. They said it was designed by the architect Robert Stern from New York City, and it's just fabulous, they said. And it has a tower in the middle of the building that resembles a farm silo, and Travel and Leisure magazine selected Huron Hill Winery as one of the top 10 most spectacular tasting rooms in the world.
Ooh.
And
should put the list of the top 10 yeah. on our
So there's only website. Two of those 10 from the U.S.
Really?
Yeah.
And what's the other one?
Huron Hills in New York and Opus out in Napa Valley.
Opus.
Yeah, It's a fancy.
I'm trying to see, remember if we...
We weren't there. Or, well...
Did we
you see might have it gone though when we went me.
On the wine train?
I think it's right on there. Yeah, I believe.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because if I remember correctly, it's kind of a funky building.
Okay.
So those are the only two U.S. winery tasting rooms to make the top 10.
Okay, we still need to put it on.
And so,
I bet there's the one in South Africa.
So that sounds incredible. Oh, yeah. That was pretty cool.
There was one in South Africa that I couldn't.
It had the big chandeliers, and it was pretty fancy. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So anyway, so that really puts this one up there as far as, it would be a cool place to visit. And it kind of sets on the slope, they said, of Kuka Lake, one of the Finger Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're overlooking the lake, and so it sounded beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I watched a video of the winery, and I really liked one of their comments. And I didn't get it word for word or anything, but the winemaker or the owner was talking about, I drink our wines with my family and friends, and so I want to make like a clean and pure wine. And so that's my goal. I don't want anything... don't want to use chemicals if I don't have to or anything like that. So they want a nice, clean wine. And they handpick everything, and they only produce about 1 to 2 tons of grapes per acre. So
I assume they have more than 20 acres now.
I would assume so, yes. Yeah. And that's a really low output. That's a pretty low output for grapes. But that means they're probably pruning a lot, so you get a more concentrated grape, which usually produces a better quality wine.
I can't wait to try this.
Okay. And our two wines in tonight is we have the 2020 Huron Hill Vineyard Baco Noir Reserve. And again, that comes from the Finger Lakes of New York region. And then we are tasting that against a 2023 Chloe... Pinot Noir from Monterey County, California. And I just picked that out because I thought it may be somewhat similar. So give us something to taste against. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We like Pinot, so let's put it up next to a Pinot.
So this first wine that we have is, I can almost read my words underneath there.
Yeah, really pretty red violet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what do you get on the nose?
Mm. Strawberry.
I'd agree. Red fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of spice, I get.
A little bit of spice. Vanilla, yeah.
I get tons of spice on that.
Okay, I do get the strawberry. I get that vanilla.
Lots of acid. Woo! That makes me pucker.
Okay, that is...
Yeah, very red fruit.
Mm-hmm. It's got a long finish, but it's mm-hmm. a little bit of a hot finish.
It is.
I don't know what you say, if that's the spice that's kind of hot on your tongue.
Yeah.
Hot tamale-ish.
I don't know if that's alcohol.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm guessing that's the Pinot Noir just from the look of it. And... The I'm Pinot Noir the has 14% alcohol.
Oh, this one does. That's a lot.
I'm guessing that's the burn. And mm-hmm. it does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so you're thinking number one is the Chloe.
I really am, yes.
Okay.
And
can
just
we
because,
go ahead to number two?
Yeah.
Which is much darker.
Much darker color.
And it's got more of the brown in the red.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the violet and so red.
It's still somewhat...
Definitely plum.
A little bit darker, but that's got a nice smell to it. I do like the nose on number one, though,
ooh,
too.
This is very blueberry-ish on the finish. Nice
Much
finish.
Darker fruit aromas.
A little bit, just a little bit. Of a oaky.
That is nice. I like that. I like that a lot.
The finish is very the most fruit forward finish I've ever had in a wine, to tell you the truth. Usually that's like the smell. And instead you're getting it on the palate.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have the acid that number one has.
No. And it doesn't have the alcohol. It doesn't seem to have the alcohol.
But I don't think that's not, it's got some acid on it.
I think it has a little more sugar for that. Maybe it's that fruit.
Yeah, I was
scared. On the palate that, wow.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's the, even though we haven't had that before, I'm pretty sure that's what that is.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
It's way different.
Mm-hmm. We'll find out for sure, but what do you give them, these ratings? We rate the wines 1 to 5. 1 being we won't even finish the glass. It's really bad. 2, we really don't like it. Never going to go out and look for it again.
Don't like this Chloe.
3 is a pretty average wine.
If it is the Chloe. 1 is a 2 for me.
Okay.
Which I think is the Chloe. If it's the New York, I'm sorry, New York. And number 2, I like.
Yeah, 1, I don't mind the... actually, I like the aroma on it. I think it has a good nose. But when you take a drink, it's got quite a bit of acid. It's got that alcohol or some kind of bite, burn, whatever at the end. I mean, it's drinkable, but...
It's not my favorite. I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Yeah, I think I'd go with 2. So, okay. On number 1, and what about number 2?
Number 2.
Our second wine.
I really like this. Mm-hmm. It's very different, but a little... It's so fruit forward that I'm staying in the 3 category. Because it doesn't have quite the complexity that I'm used to for a wine.
It's got it on the... I get it on the nose. I get some...
Yes.
I get some earthiness on the nose. Maybe some leather.
Mm-hmm. Very unique. I could see this with chocolate.
Mm. Yeah.
I would love this
with chocolate. I think I'm going to go 4 cake on it. Because it's just really easy to drink. I agree. It may not be the most complex wine.
Right, or the most table-friendly wine. Like, I would want this with specific, like my chocolate cake, I think would be delicious with this.
Hmm. Okay. I wouldn't go to that, but...
With that blueberry. Oh, yeah. I'm there.
Okay. Okay, let's find out what we're... So you go with...
I'm still
we
going
both with... go 2 on number 1.
And I'm going still 3 on the New York. Just because I think for me, it's a little specific kind of wine.
Yep. Okay, we did get these correct.
All right.
Number 1 is the Chloe. Applause.
Yay.
Okay, and so number 2 was our Huron Hill Reserve.
Yeah, and I'm glad we tried that. Something new, something different.
Okay, so let's find out a little bit about these wines. So our first wine that we tried was the 2023 Chloe Monterey County Pinot Noir. Notes of strawberry, cherry. Yeah, I definitely got the strawberry. Mm-hmm. Very red fruit for me. This is around $15 a bottle. Can be found at many of the, Target,
Chloe,
Walmart, I'm pretty sure has that. Subtle hints of clove and vanilla.
Maybe it's that clove that's giving us that little bit of...
Yeah, I thought there was more clove maybe on this wine than any wine I've ever tasted. Definitely has that. Silky mouthfeel. And you know, it might have the mouthfeel. Soft finish.
I thought it was a little hot finish or something.
Yeah, I definitely agree. 14% alcohol. So very... That's pretty darn high. Yeah. So, anyway, not our favorite wine. Sorry.
That happens.
Yep. And then number 2 is the 2020 Huron Hill Vineyard Baco Noir Reserve. And this is from the Finger Lakes region. Like I said, Cuco Lake is where specifically within the Finger Lake region it was grown and raised. We got the wine at Wine Styles for right around $25. And aromas of plum, black cherry, and dried blueberry.
I definitely get
I don't know what the dried. I'm not able to get there yet. But yeah, blueberry, plum, mm-hmm. for sure. Medium to full bodied. Yeah, I'd say more medium body personally. But what do we got?
13.9 alcohol.
Yeah, so very similar. And that, yeah, that was another reason. Very similar alcohol content, but I don't.
A lot different presentation.
It is so smooth, yeah. Mm-hmm. pH 3.55. So kind of, yeah, not bad acidity. And then 0% residual sugar. So you said you thought you got some sweetness on it. 0% sugar.
Yeah,
on
it's just that. Blueberry, all the fruit,
I think. Yeah,
really tricks your mind.
So this was aged in for 10 months in neutral French oak. So probably very little oak characteristics in there since it's neutral and it's French oak. But you probably get some extra mouthfeel to it. Medium to full body. The winery says this wine is great to be cellared for up to 15 years.
I would like to try this. A 15-year-old one.
Well, we're going to have to go to that winery and get some wine and keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
I really would like to taste a 15-year-old compared to a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. That's... yeah, it's just... it just has a... To me, it's a good, easy drinking wine.
It is. You don't need food with it. Definitely.
Yeah, I can just drink that.
Yeah. You do not need food with it.
Okay. So they say a lot of times it'll have some hints of a Baco Noir will have some hints of black pepper or tobacco. I don't know if that's tobacco. I would say leather. But notes of licorice, cedar, smoke, and normally pretty medium tannin-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all kind of traits of Baco Noir, and I think this follows along pretty well.
Yeah, very interesting wine.
I don't get the I don't get the earthiness in the flavor that much.
Oh, it's
I can
so
taste
fruit-forward.
Or I can smell it. Yeah. Okay.
Very good.
Yeah, I liked it. So
I did too.
Good. Okay. So next week, Denise.
Is it my show finally?
It's your show.
Oh, okay. I'm so excited.
So the next 2 weeks, we are doing Denise's shows. Well, that's where we picked out wine based on
one, a beautiful, beautiful bottle.
Okay.
And one, a unique bottle.
Yeah.
Grapes that we have never tried before as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. So we're going off the beaten path.
Okay. Well, next week, we have tried the grape before.
Oh, okay.
But probably not from this location.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different there. And then the second one, the unique label, we have not had that grape before. So that will be fun. So next week, we're trying a 2022 Oak Farm Vineyards Albarino from Lodi, California.
And tell them what the label looks like. Or tell them it's going to be...
We'll get into that next week. But Denise picked this out because she thought it was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. The wine bottle is so beautiful that she really wanted to try this wine. So
she just jumped into the cart.
Yeah. So we are going to answer the question next week of can a beautiful label tell you that the wine is going to be good?
Yeah. Or, and then we went the other way with the other bottle.
What's that?
It looked like chalk writing. It's just chalk writing on a bottle.
Yeah, so that'll be in 2 weeks.
Oh, that one's in 2 weeks. Yeah, so we're not doing them together.
It will be a unique bottle.
That's a unique bottle. Yep. So that one jumped in my cart for like, what is this? Was this made in somebody's closet?
Yeah. So, okay. Sounds good. I think that's it.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. So,
until next time, happy wine trails to you. Until we taste again on the next episode of the Wine Appraiser Podcast. Bye.
Bye, everyone.